The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
Welcome to The Shepherd at Work, a weekly program to help you learn how to live your Christian faith in every place you work and live. Host Mark Goldstein introduces you to individuals who are successfully and effectively engaging in marketplace ministry and gives you the tools you need to do the same. The Shepherd at Work is sponsored by the U.S. Christian Chamber of Commerce, building kingdom, business, and community. Now, here's your host, Mark Goldstein.
Hi, this is Mark Goldstein, and welcome to another edition of The Shepherd at Work. I'm in the studio with Mike Gillen, and for those of you who may be following the situation that I've been dealing
sure.
with, my dear bride of 43 years passed away actually a week ago as we're recording this now, and I just feel like I want to share my experiences while it's still fresh.
Yeah.
And those of you who are listening, It may be a little raw for what you're expecting to hear on the radio, but in doing this, we're going to do it a little differently today. So I've asked Mike Gillen here in the studio to actually be the interviewer to interview me. So with that, Mike, the show is yours.
Well, it is great to have you back live here in the studio, man.
Thank you.
You know, I know the last 2 weeks you were recording from your home mm-hmm. and calling in. So it was over the phone, not quite the same as sitting across looking at you here in our wonderful studios at yeah. the Shepherd. And, you know, I know that for anyone that's lost someone dear, it's a process.
Yeah.
And for every person, it's a little different. There are some things that we all go through, and there are some things that might be unique. Mm-hmm. And so we want you to have all of that freedom. We know that raw is normal.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with death, and you have to deal with those moments. There's tears, there's joy when you think about the good things.
Absolutely.
About what, in your case, what your wife, who has been suffering for so long.
Long time.
And she's free of that now.
Absolutely.
And so I think the stories that God gave you in those last moments of Ronnie's life are really remarkable and a faith-giving. And certainly wonderful things that we can rejoice with you, because isn't it marvelous? And you're tasting it right now, the assurance of God.
Yes.
That he brings. I heard a song, Mark, and I think about it often when we lose somebody we know we love. It was there was a guy named Jim Loving back in Indiana, and he had a group that was called the Collegiates, and they were like a trio, a Southern gospel trio. And they sang a song. I won't have the exact lyrics or memory of the title perfectly, but it was a special gift of grace that comes when only God can give it, that comes especially when you lose a loved one.
Absolutely.
That's what the gist of the song was.
Yeah.
I was ministered back then years ago,
yeah.
talking about 40 plus years ago when I would hear this. And that's what you're experiencing now. You're walking through what Psalm 23 talks about, the valley
yeah.
of the shadow of death.
Yeah.
And the scripture promise there is even then, he's going to be there with you, comforting you.
And he was, he is, and he will continue to be. I can say that through all of my pain,
yeah.
And I've never been in this much pain. I am broken, and I've been a Christian. I've been a follower of Christ for over 40 some, close to 45 years.
Yeah.
And I've never been broken until now.
Yeah.
And I find joy in my brokenness because I know that the same loving God who broke me has done it for a reason, so he can rebuild me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking earlier, I read the Bible every 90 days
yeah.
or less.
You're the only person I know that's, yeah, that's amazing.
Well,
how many times have you read through it now?
Well, I'm in my 52nd time since 2013.
I can honestly say I know no one in life that's read through the Bible as much as you.
Well, what is so amazing is that even with the situations last week with Ronnie and all that. I did not want to break what I was doing of the discipline of getting into God's
That's
word.
That's amazing.
So I kind of quipped. I said, you know, God, I'm staying with this program even during this, but couldn't you have waited until I was in Psalms?
Yeah.
As it turned out, yeah. I was in Exodus.
Yeah.
I was right around chapter 20 when it's talking about the Ten Commandments, and then Exodus, Leviticus. Not today. I'm finishing Numbers, and I'm thinking, you know, God, you know, why am I? You know, what can I find
here?
That's
not easy reading, right there, man. That's tough stuff.
But what God showed me was that Mark, Israel was broken. When they were in Egypt, that was a broken people.
Mm-hmm.
When he brought them out, he had to build their foundation up. And so as I'm reading it now, he says, look, if I can rebuild a nation, I can rebuild you.
Right.
So
that's right.
That's why I have joy in seeing that with what I'm going through, I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what he's calling me to do, but I know that he's building me now.
Mm-hmm.
Preparing me for what that is. And for that, knowing that I'm in the game, it brings amazing joy.
Yeah. Well, if I can, I want to just kind of, for our listeners who don't know you as well as I do, and although I knew Ronnie, had met her, mm-hmm. I did not know her, obviously, super well, because during these last couple of years, her health has not been great.
Right.
She's suffered a long time. And I know that she's been fairly debilitated for what, almost 2 years, right?
She has, but for the last year, she went into hospice care in January with congestive heart failure.
So it's even longer than I remembered it being. Yeah. Wow.
Well, she had issues before that, but the real nail was the congestive heart. She only had like 10-15% use of her heart. So since January, she's been in hospice, and I've been her caregiver all along. This last month, I've been at home, and I run out briefly to get something from the grocery store, but I have been there with her 24/7 ministering to her.
Hence, that's why you did your show from your home
right.
the last couple of weeks as it got to be even more obviously difficult. So I've known you now for over 4 years. And during this time, I would say that, and I've joked about you with people and with you as well, that Mark is one of the most connected people. You are the most known in the business community, especially the Christian business community, because of your work with the local Christian chamber that you were the president of for what, 11 years?
Yeah,
11 years. People know you and they love you, Mark.
Yeah.
You're just you're one of the most loved people I know. And God blessed me with getting to meet you and getting to have you in my life when we moved back to Orlando in 2019, even before we actually made the move. In October, I was already a part of the chamber meetings all the way earlier into the late summer, like around July or so, July or August of that year. So that's when I met you. And people, again, they clamor around you. I would see you and I'm thinking, man, this guy knows everybody. Look at this. This is crazy. But what they, you know, your wife was also there, but kind of in the background. She was not the people person that you are. That aspect of your life, I get the feeling Ronnie put up with that more than anything, right?
Well, and that's the most amazing thing about that woman is that I accepted the call to resurrect the chamber, if you will.
Yeah.
I was always the one out front making the connections, this and that. And what people do realize is that she was the glue that held the chamber together. She did the work of four people. And I always kind of quip is that, you know, she did the work of four and only complained for that
there
of
you
one.
Go.
But the fact is, most chambers have three or four people to do what she did.
Yeah.
But Paul Harvey's rest of the story is it was always outside of her comfort zone. People would see her And that's where they would see her every month at the chamber lunch. She would be at the reception table and she was painfully shy.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, in 2010, when we had John Ashcroft as a speaker, we had close to 400 people. She got so worked up, her adrenals crashed. She was sick for 7 months after that, and she still didn't miss a lunch.
Wow.
So, you know, she, while she didn't think that she was really contributing in her mind because she saw just her the job she was doing, she really didn't get a good vision of what her work was accomplishing. Mm-hmm. Now maybe in heaven she does, but, no, she was amazing.
Yeah. She was there and would be the greeter for, when people checked in at the chamber meetings.
Yeah, the reception table. Yeah.
And again, she did that out of her comfort zone, out of what would be her normal, desire of, or personality. She stepped in there because of just this incredible people gift that God has given you. And you just are like honey, man. You draw people from all around, and they love you. And on the day that we have the memorial service for Ronnie, they will all be there.
Yeah.
That place will be packed out, I am sure, because people love you, and they loved Ronnie.
And what's so confirming are the dozens and dozens of contacts I'm getting from people that acknowledge the fact that we wouldn't have had a chamber if it wasn't for Ronnie,
right?
The Central Florida Christian Chamber and the U.S. Christian Chamber because of what Ronnie did. So it just confirms that she did have a legacy.
She did, and she was a very important part in your legacy as well, obviously. The two shall become one flesh.
Yes.
And that's, as our friend Scott told us in a conversation I was part of, you know, you feel like part of your flesh is now gone.
Absolutely.
And that's what death does.
Absolutely.
So we'll be back in a moment. This is The Shepherd at Work. Mark is here dealing with obvious grief. And we know that many of you might be right there with him. So we'll talk more about some of the special things that Mark experienced in those final moments when we return The Shepherd at Work here on The Shepherd.
If you're a Christian business person and you want to meet people who want to do business with you, you need to join the Central Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce. Why? Because the mission of the Christian Chamber is to build kingdom, business, and community. And it all starts with the Christian principle of building relationships. To learn more about the Christian Chamber and all the different ways you can get engaged with hundreds of other Central Florida Christian business people, visit cfchristianchamber.com or call 407-258-3570.
Ladies, do you want the men in your lives to be better husbands, fathers, and providers? Men, do you want all that and more? Christ-Led Communities has the answer. With men's Bible studies and group experiences, Christ-Led Communities has a curriculum that meets most every man's spiritual needs. Visit clchq.org to learn about your opportunities to grow in Christ in a Christ-Led community. The website again is clchq.org or 407-484-3899.
Once again, here's Mark Goldstein.
This is Mark Goldstein again. Welcome back. And you're listening to a special edition of The Shepherd at Work, where I'm not the interviewer. Mike Gillen is. So, right. Mike, back to you.
Well, you know, Mark, when I think back to what you've gone through especially the last several months, you know, those that have loved ones that's gone through hospice, that is never an easy thing. I mean, you know, you've gone through one of the most difficult parts of life, and that is end of life. And I learned a lot when I lost my dad, and then I lost my mom in last year in May. And, you know, Mark, when you look back now, there were several things that God gave you as almost like special gifts of assurances.
Oh, absolutely.
So why don't you tell us about that?
Well, we got to go back initially when Ronnie was diagnosed with congestive heart and she was going on hospice. She had three requests over and over. She wanted to die quickly, peacefully, and painlessly. And that was her mantra over and over. About a month ago, I came into the TV room converted into the hospital room, and she was crying. And I said, sweetie, what's the matter? And she says, I'm afraid. Afraid of what? I'm afraid of dying. And that's the first time she articulated that. So I said, would you like to talk to somebody? She said, who? And I said, how about Andy Searles? And our
what a
audience,
guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I called Andy. She said, yes. I called Andy. He came out, visited with her. They spent some time together. Ronnie texted me. I came back into the house and we had prayer. And then I walked Andy outside and he says, Mark, I got something I'd like to share with you that Ronnie said. Now I need to put a pin in that and kind of move forward to the 8th.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, it was before that. It was the Sunday prior to the November 8th.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know when anybody's listening to this,
that's
so I can't
right.
say last week. So anyhow, that Sunday, some interesting things happened. First, her nurse said, Ronnie will pass when she finally just lets go. And
I think that's a very common thing.
Right. And so that Sunday, prior, two things, significant things happened. One, she was a big race fan. And early on in the year, she was saying, isn't it a bummer? I'm going to see these races, but I'm not going to know who the champions are. And she followed several series and she was able to see who the champions were until the NASCAR Cup race,
mm-hmm.
the final race, which happened to be on that Sunday.
Isn't
and
that
she
something?
Got to see it.
Uh-huh.
The other thing was, is I put up the Christmas tree, but I did it in the great room where she could still see it from her bed in the other room. And the nurse believes that because her mom had passed away in the mid-90s at Christmas, Ronnie didn't want to put the family through that. So she was ready to call it.
Hmm.
So from that Sunday until Wednesday, it was obvious that she needed some more help. So she went on the morphine and another tablet to just kind of relax her, which the nurse said that would be the other part. She has to just relax. 6 o'clock Wednesday night, they administered the first dose. Within 5 minutes, she was sound asleep and she was just comfortable. The nurse left. I go to sit out and do some reading. Right around 7 o'clock, I hear her moaning. So I went close to the opening. I didn't turn on light because I didn't want to disturb her. And I said, Ronnie, are you okay? And it was just light moaning. So I knew she wasn't in pain. So I went and sat back down. A couple more moans, and I would just say, Ronnie, I'm out here if you need me. She moaned again, and I just felt that unction. You need to check on her this time. So I went in, and I turned on a little light so I could at least see her.
Mm-hmm.
Put my hand on her hand, and it was like a block of ice.
Wow.
So with that, I looked at her face. She had been, well, obviously her eyes had been closed, but all through the day, they were just barely open. When I looked at her face, her eyes were wide open.
Mm.
And she was scanning the room, kind of like lasers scan, security lasers. She was looking up, down, back, forth, all around. I thought it was the medication that mm-hmm. was kind of doing that. So I said, Ronnie, are you in there? Ronnie, are you in there? And with that, her eyes got even bigger where I saw the whites around it. Her gaze was to one part of this room. Her mouth opens and the air just comes out.
Oh, wow.
And with that, what made Ronnie,
she was gone.
And all that was left was his broken body.
Yeah.
That it was great that she was out of. Hospice came, the funeral home, everybody leaves and I'm all by myself. So I walk outside and I said, Lord, I believe she's with you. But I said, you know, sometimes there's this little niggling thing. And, you know, like the fellow when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, he says, the Father said, Lord, I believe. Help me my unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm out there and I'm saying, Lord, I believe. Help me my unbelief. Because the adversary wants to say, well, what about this and this and this? That disqualifies her, whatever. So I said, Lord, would you please just show me that she's with you?
Mm-hmm.
I go in the house, sit down, I'm going to read again, and I hear this little voice in my ear that says, Mark, who do you think she saw?
Wow. Wow.
And then the next voice was her spirit is with me.
Oh, my goodness.
And Mike, I realized he had answered my prayer even before I asked.
Yeah.
He didn't have to show me a sign. Mm-hmm. He just reminded me of
what
his
you
presence.
Saw. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And then I remembered what Andy told me that she said. He said, you know, I've talked to countless people who are going through this, and I talked to him about heaven, and I asked him about heaven. He says, Ronnie's response floored him because he had never heard that before. He said, she said, I want to be surprised by heaven.
Mm-hmm.
In that room, that was a look of surprise.
Yep.
She, and for the first time in 68 years, she no longer had pain.
Right.
And for that, I rejoice. So my tears really are tears of joy than sorrow. And with everything she went through, how could I say, Lord, don't take her?
Right.
You know, when that was her wish, she was ready.
Yeah.
You know, it would have been so selfish of me to say, Ronnie, stay in a place of pain and darkness rather than going to eternal joy and peace and
happiness. Freedom. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
And, you know, you think back the role of Andy and just the godly counsel that he gave her. And she was different after he met with her. There was a real change in her outlook. And I think a lot of that fear and anticipation was gone, right?
It sure was. But really what I want to share with our listeners is what really got me through. And the first was Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and sacrificed for him. Mike, this last year, it's been a joy to serve. I really learned what it meant to be to have sacrificial love.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I would not change this last year for anything. But the other thing is I earned Ronnie's respect.
Mm.
And intimacy had been gone for quite a long time, but that respect was there. And I loved her with all my heart, soul, and she responded back. The other thing that kept me going, that's keeping me going now, is Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 10, putting on the full armor of God, putting on the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, the feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel, shield of faith, helmet, and sword. That is what has really kept me going.
Yeah.
And the prayers and love from the body.
You know, I think back to the role of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised the disciples who were grieving for a different reason, but they were still, or their hearts were full of grief. They'd been told by the Lord, I'm going away.
Yeah.
And he said, but the Holy Spirit, who I will send to you, will comfort you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you.
Absolutely.
And that's what he's doing. He's guiding you.
And through my brokenness, I am looking with great hope and an anticipation of how he's going to continue to use me through all this.
I know he will. Well, Mark, thank you for sharing your story. And I pray that it is a story of help and real comfort for people who might be facing the very same thing with a loved one in hospice. So thank you for living your life in a real way for all of us to really benefit from.
It's my honor and privilege, Mike.
All right, buddy. Well, this is The Shepherd at Work, and we'll be back next week. Mark Goldstein is our host here. It's been a privilege to be part of this as we work through these emotions and grief. And we thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Been listening to The Shepherd at Work. Tune in next week as Mark will introduce you to another marketplace leader who will show you how to live your Christian faith in every place you work and live. The Shepherd at Work, sponsored by the U.S. Christian Chamber of Commerce, building kingdom, business, and community.
The preceding was a Mark Radio production.